So first of all, good morning. And also I'd like to say to you, namaste. In November, my wife Penny and I returned to Nepal. We last visited there 30 years ago, and we've always really longed to go back. We trekked in a fairly remote part of the Himalayas, following which Penny, who's a doctor, was able to spend some time at a Christian hospital, and I was able to briefly link up with one of Tearfund's local partnership organisations out in Nepal. Now, although Christians are persecuted in Nepal, and it's illegal actually to evangelise, the number of Christians is growing very significantly, and you can see God at work at all sorts of levels in that country. And that includes, of course, the astounding beauty of the mountains that he created. But perhaps what is most striking is just the open-hearted hospitality of people who are struggling to survive in small, isolated villages high up in the Himalayas. They tend tiny fields of barley on patches of mountainside with tools and techniques that you would directly recognise from the pages of the Bible. Many are still struggling to recover from the devastating earthquake in 2015 that was on all our TV screens. And as you may know, namaste is the traditional greeting, which means the God in me greets the God in you. The Bible tells us that we're all made in God's own image, so we can find a resonance in these words from a Christian perspective. And certainly the generosity of those who have so little compared to us is extremely challenging. So this morning, I'd like to encourage us all to look within ourselves for the imprint of God who made us and ask how we can help in his work of turning less into more. The Bible repeatedly tells us of God's particular desire to bless the poor. The most essential ingredients in that blessing, however, aren't food, but life-changing love and compassion. Tearfund's mission is to follow God's teaching as to how we can work with him, not just to keep the poor physically alive, but to transform their lives altogether. And Tearfund believes that everyone has the God-given potential to bring spiritual as well as material help and hope to others. And our aim is to assist people around the world to unlock those gifts and use them for the benefit of those in poverty in whatever way they can. As you may know, a very necessary part of Tearfund's work is responding to disaster relief, like the earthquake I mentioned. But today, I'd like to give you an insight into Tearfund's longer-term development work, which last year reached nearly 4 million people in over 40 countries. Now, in 2019, Tearfund celebrated its 50th year. And that's a very significant milestone, because you may remember that in Leviticus, every 50 years was a jubilee, and God called on the Israelites in the jubilee year to rebalance the inequalities that had grown up since the previous jubilee. And in the world today, obviously, we all know that inequality continues to be a very pressing concern. Some would even say it may be an increasing one. But we shouldn't be discouraged from working against injustice, and the good news can often be obscured. The number of people living in absolute poverty has in fact fallen dramatically in recent decades. The World Bank defines absolute poverty as living on less than $2 a day. It estimates that in 1980, roughly 44% of the world's then population of 4.5 billion were living in extreme poverty. That 44% was then 2 billion people. In 2015, this had dropped to about 9% of a world population of 7 billion. So 600 million people out of a much larger total. Now, Tearfund's vision is to see a complete end to absolute poverty in our lifetimes as part of God's kingdom plan. And the progress already made shows that this is achievable. God's kingdom will only be complete, of course, when he brings heaven to earth and makes all things new. But as Jesus showed through his life and resurrection, we are called to be building it now. As Neil Armstrong memorably said, one small step can represent a journey that takes us to a totally different place. So I'd like to introduce you to one individual as just a practical example of Tear Fund's vision. Her name is Ruth, and if you have one of the Tear Fund cards handy in your pew, you'll see that you'll see her picture on the inside. Like the biblical Ruth, she lives in extreme poverty caused by famine, and she's one of the 600 million people I mentioned. This Ruth, however, lives in Nigeria, which has more people in extreme poverty today than any other country, about 180 million out of that 600 million I was talking about. So I'd just like to show you at this stage a short video clip that allows Ruth to speak to you in her own words.
Life in this community can be very difficult. What makes life so difficult is a lack of food. My dream is to have enough money to meet all our needs. I will pay for my children's education, build a good house, and have savings to deal with any problems that we face. My name is Ruth, and I am married with 6 children. 3 have left home, and sadly, 1 passed away. So I live with my husband and 2 youngest children. We suffer periods of hunger that sometimes last 5 or 6 months. Then we just eat 1 meal a day, and I have to forage for food and live off the little that we have and are able to grow. I try my very best, but the times when I cannot provide food for my children is a huge problem for me. Sometimes my children are sent away from school because I can't afford to pay the fees. Fetching firewood is our only source of income to take care of the family.
Kokida community is a very poor community, lacking potable drinking water, has poor agricultural practices, but the greatest challenge is inadequate food. We have started addressing the needs of these communities by organizing church awakening Bible studies through the support of Tear Fund that would eventually help communities lift themselves out of poverty. Through the process, there have been self-help groups that have been formed.
I joined a self-help savings and loans group 1 year ago, and it has helped me make a change in my life. After the first year out, I bought 2 bags of fertilizer. In the past, I harvested 3 to 5 bags of maize, but last harvest yielded 13 bags. The church facilitators also taught us to diversify our crops. If I plant 1 bean and it yields, I can harvest about 70 to 80 beans. I also bought a chicken and 2 pigs, so I thank God for what He has been doing in my life. It awakened me to look for opportunities, and it has helped my faith. Now I put my trust in God. Our farm is very small and not large enough to sell the produce, so I hope to breed livestock. That way, anytime I have a problem, I can sell them to meet our needs, because I have a lot of needs. But still, my most urgent challenge is lack of food and periods of hunger. I want people to pray for me, that God will protect me and God will guide me, that there will be total transformation for my family. I believe the self-help group will bring about that change.
Small changes have started to transform Ruth's life.
With this little, it will one day be something.
Give what you can and see how your gifts are powerful in God's hands.
So Ruth's story shows the reality for those living in extreme poverty. The hunger, insecurity, helplessness, fear, and heartbreak for loved ones. Thank you to Miranda for the readings this morning. She read beautifully. And for reminding us through those readings of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, this is such a well-known miracle that we're almost prone to skim over it without considering the detail. It's the only miracle to appear in all four Gospels. Although the story is essentially the same in each, there are also some interesting differences. I'm going to concentrate on the Mark version, but only John tells us that it was the small boy who gave the two fish and the five loaves, the less that Jesus turned into more. And it's striking that he seems to have been the only one in this vast multitude who brought food with him. Now, we may be tempted to think that his mum packed his lunchbox and he hated fish. But rather than being cynical, let's accept what John is telling us here, which is how a very small act of generosity from perhaps the most unlikely person among the crowd could be the starting point for amazing transformation. So now let's turn to Mark. In verse 34, it says, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." Mark describes a situation of great need, but the miracle starts with Jesus meeting spiritual hunger through his teaching. Spiritual need, then as now, was an essential aspect of poverty. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked of the poor in spirit as those who recognize their own spiritual weakness and vulnerability. Now, that might include many of us, but there's also a critical connection between material and spiritual poverty. It's only the knowledge that God loves us that can heal our deepest spiritual longing. And that's because it transforms us into people who can actively make plans for the future in the confidence that God has loving plans for us. I recently heard an economics podcast about a charity, not Tear Fund in this case, a charity in the Philippines run on similar lines, who wanted to check the effectiveness of their educational program, which was designed to alleviate poverty. So they engaged a team of economists, non-Christian economists, to devise a way of assessing this. The program itself had three components. One was livelihood, so that's ways to earn a living with skills, training and small loans. One was health and nutrition. And then the third element was Christian teaching. The assessment was carried out in 320 villages where all the inhabitants were in absolute poverty. The villages were split for the test into four groups, and three of them received just one of the three educational elements of the course for 6 months, while the fourth received all three elements. At the end of the assessment, the economists were astounded to find that the villages that had received only Christian teaching about God's love and plans for them had also shown significantly greater progress in reducing material poverty than any of the other groups. Once we understand that God has plans for us, we have a hope that doesn't just enhance our skills or our knowledge, it's life-changing, as it empowers people to work for their own futures, both materially and spiritually. In verse 35 to 36, it says, "By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. 'This is a remote place,' they said, 'and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.'" The disciples have done a lot of ministry by this stage. They're tired. They want to go home, curl up on the sofa and perhaps watch Strictly. But Jesus' compassion isn't exhausted. He doesn't accept the disciples' solution that the crowd should be sent home hungry, but nor does he just magic up a banquet out of nothing. In verse 37, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." Throughout Scripture, we see this pattern of God calling on us to work with him to help the weak and vulnerable. The disciples' response to the challenge was complete disbelief. They just can't imagine how it might be possible to feed 5,000 men and all the women and children with them. Very possibly over 10,000 people. That would cost the earth, they say. Not surprisingly, they felt overwhelmed and powerless, as we often do ourselves. How can we really help all the poor in Nigeria? But Jesus sees things very differently. He asked, "How much bread do you have?" And then we see something amazing happen. The disciples did as Jesus told them. They contributed what they could, even though it was almost laughably little. Then Jesus prayed for God's blessing and distributed the food. Next to nothing became so much that after satisfying the hunger of the crowd, the leftovers hugely exceeded the few small loaves and fishes that they came from. And this is where we can see the different details highlighted by John and Mark come together. If we open our hearts and minds and give, as the small boy did, or get involved in providing help, as the disciples did, God responds to that faith and performs the miracle of meeting need by turning less into more. As shown in the video, TF Fund follows these principles in its own approach to spiritual and material development, which helps people to see their situations differently and focus not on what they don't have, but on what they do have and what they can do. When TF Fund and its local partners started working with Ruth's church, she was helped to understand through this story and other Bible passages how God has a holistic concern for her spiritual life and for the struggles that she and her family were experiencing. She had a fresh encounter with God, and that helped her to discover God's love and care for her. Ruth's local church received TF Fund assistance to set up small self-help groups. And these are groups where people learn to share every area of their lives together. They grow in faith, support and prayer for one another, and they have an economic side to them as well. Each group member pays a tiny amount each week into a microcredit fund from which they can take loans with very small interest, very low interest indeed. As a result, Ruth was able to get a small loan to buy fertilizer, as you saw, and her crop yields have rocketed. Guidance on how to make small changes to the way they farm is increasing the volume of crops that Ruth's family can harvest. Ruth was also trained how to diversify her plants. Harvesting beans at different times of year to her maize provides food that bridges the seasonal hunger gap that we heard about. So now Ruth has the dignity of meeting her family's needs without depending on handouts. Her story shows how God can take whatever we can give and use our gifts to transform people's lives. As we saw, by God's miracle, one small bean becomes 80 beans. With encouragement, love, and just enough money to get her started, Ruth has learned to use the little in her hands to shape her own future, just as the disciples used the little they had in theirs. TF Fund has more than 50 years' experience of development work, and it's found new ways of addressing poverty that don't cost the earth and benefit thousands rather than just a few. Rather than coming from the outside with our ideas and resources, we help release the potential within communities to use what's already there. The people, their energy, their imagination, their skills, their land, their entrepreneurial abilities. And this approach values people and respects the ideas, abilities and resources that they can themselves provide and contribute. It doesn't see them as in need of solutions we impose on them, as broken and in need of fixing. It empowers people to change their own situations and to find freedom from dependence on short-term aid and outside agencies, including TF Fund once the poverty trap's been broken. Since TF Fund launched its first church and community transformation pilot in 2001, it's enhanced the lives of more than 10 million people across 41 countries. And we're scaling up our work in a way which has the potential to achieve fundamental change. What's more, it's not just about transformation for those in extreme poverty like Ruth. In Corinthians 2, chapter 9, verse 7, Paul says that God wants us not just to give, but to be cheerful givers. His plan is to transform us as well through the generosity that opens our hearts and recognizes the grace of his provision for us. At Tear Fund, we believe that it's possible to see the end of absolute poverty within our lifetimes. Through prayer and our gifts, we can all not only take part in this work of transformation, but experience it ourselves. Just by way of illustration, it costs £12 a month for a year for two people like Ruth to receive skills training through a self-help group to feed and provide for their family, or £6 a month to get Ruth started on a journey of transformation that releases her from the poverty trap. You may already support Tear Fund or another charity doing similar work, and if so, I'd really like to thank you for that support. Otherwise, if you'd like to join in, then please do speak to me afterwards, or just complete one of the leaflets you should have found on your seat, and either leave it with me to send on, or you can obviously post it yourself to Tear Fund. What makes the most difference is regular giving, even of small amounts, because, as you've seen, the work itself is long-term. It takes years to make these transformations in whole communities. If you need time to think it over or talk to others about it, then if you just fill in your contact number on the form, then someone from Tear Fund will phone you to give you any further information you need. And Tear Fund also sends updates on how your money is transforming lives so that you can see that, but you have control over how much information you receive and when and how you get it. So it's an opportunity to see how the little in our hands can be multiplied by God to do the miraculous. So just in closing, let's pray for Ruth and for ourselves. Loving and faithful Father, we praise you for your love and mercy. Thank you for listening to us, for taking an interest in every area of our lives. Thank you that you understand our needs and that you provide ways for us to help others in need. We lift up Ruth and her family to you. And we pray with expectant faith for her prayers to be answered, that she will feel God's guidance and protection and will experience total transformation. We place our gifts and lives in your hands and ask you to use us for your glory. Amen.